What's the theme? Anyone know it? Uh-oh, come on. Huh? Huh? Thank you. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I want you guys to get that concept right now before we start, right? Everyone knows it now, right? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And it really is a neat concept when you think about it, and an important one in this day and age. In a day and age when we don't know what to believe, right? We don't know who to believe. We don't know what truth is. We can't even decide if a dress is black and blue or if it is white and gold. Come on. We can't even agree anymore on colors. How sad is that? Of course it's black and blue, right? Of course. Thank you, Jacob. It's such an important theme, you guys. This world is trying to pull you in all different directions. And I would encourage you in this time to bring those doubts to the Lord. Bring that uncertainty to God, those questions that you have, and just say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe in who you are. But God, help my unbelief. Help that I'm not so sure about. Help that I still have those questions about. And that's why I feel like this theme is so neat. And we're going to be in the book of Matthew. You guys all brought your Bibles, right? Open your Bibles up with me, please. To the book of Matthew, we're going to be in chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, and we are going to read about a few men who needed faith. In fact, they needed fearless faith, and that's my theme today, is fearless faith. We're going to read about the disciples as they are set in a boat in the middle of the sea as a storm hits. And my theme comes from Matthew 14:27. It says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. In fact, let's go ahead and read from verse 22 as we begin. It says, immediately Jesus, in chapter 14, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Well, he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And immediately they cried out for fear. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you this day, Lord. And God, we just want to give you this time, Father. I just pray, Lord, right now, God, that you would just set your spirit in this place, Lord. That you would calm our hearts, Father. That you would set our minds upon you. That you would help us to focus, God, on your word and what you have for us this day. I pray, God, that in a world of uncertainty, Father, in a world of many different supposed truths, that we would truly know, Father, that we would truly know, Lord, how real you are, and that we can trust in your word solely. We pray, Father, that this day, Lord, that we would give you all of our doubts, all of our fears, everything, God, that we are holding back, and that you would just minister to us. Each and every one of us, Lord, this day. We just pray this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Let me set the stage for you guys. In Matthew chapter 14, as Jesus, a little bit earlier here in the chapter, hears about his cousin, John the Baptist's head being served on a platter to Herod's niece, he makes his way to be alone to mourn the death of his cousin John. A neat story, right? How many of you guys watch all those types of shows, you know, the Walking Dead and the, hopefully not, right? I mean, okay, you do, whatever, but still, I hate that stuff. But man, the Bible is so full of just the most exciting stories, you know, just the most exciting things that we can just get involved in and just pick apart and just be spoken to. And as we meet Jesus here in this place, an extreme event has just taken place, and that is his own cousin's head being served on a platter to Herod's niece. And Jesus goes away to mourn this. And as he is away on his own, he is met by a group. And being moved with compassion, the Bible says, Jesus decides to go to the multitudes there and minister to them. And he ends up feeding them. You guys know the story, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that brings us to verse 22. Of Matthew chapter 14. Let's go ahead and read it again in verse 22. Read along with me. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the disciples, or the multitudes, away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Let's go ahead and stop there. So Jesus, as he goes up to pray, he sends his disciples ahead of him on a boat through the Sea of Galilee. And the Gospel of John tells us that it was to the city of Capernaum that he wanted to meet them. And I think it's safe to say that at this time, the disciples had a certain belief. They were believing that as Jesus sent them away in this boat, that he would then meet them on the other side of the Sea of Galilee when they arrive. This was a belief that the disciples had. And as they're on this boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, the wind begins to blow, it says, and the waves begin to rise. And if you've ever been on a boat in the middle of the sea, you know that when the winds begin to blow and the waves begin to rise, that the fun begins to end, right? Here we go, the disciples are thinking, in the middle of a storm. The closest that I can come to relating to this story here is on my 2nd year anniversary with my wife. We decided to go on a cruise for the first time, you know. We thought it'd be nice, and we heard that, like, the all-you-can-eat pizza is just amazing, you know. So we go on this cruise, and I know it's a hard comparison, you know, a little tiny fishing boat, great big, you know, cruise ship or whatever, but let me go ahead and try to make it anyways. And as we're on this cruise ship, at night, the wind would begin to blow, and the waves would begin to rise. You see, there was a storm in front of us that we were right directly behind, and there was a storm literally right behind us, chasing us as we were going down the coast. So from both ends, we are getting this storm. And you could hear the waves at night crashing on the side of the boat. You could see the water at night begin to rise above our little porthole window as the ship was swaying back and forth. And I'm sitting there at night being a light sleeper with my shoes by the bed, ready to throw them on, ready to jet for the lifeboat, you know, when I hear the siren go off. And of course, I look over at my wife, and there she is just sleeping peacefully, you know, like nothing, like we're in our own bed at home. So what did I do? I woke her up, right? No, I didn't wake her up. I didn't wake her up. I let her sleep. But we had certain expectations for this trip, right? We expected to have a calm ride. We expected to have a peaceful ride as we were going to the place that we were going to. We expected to be at a certain place at a certain time. We expected to see certain things on this trip. But what we didn't expect is what actually happened. And what happened was an uncomfortable, tiring, sickening at times trip. And sometimes in life, the unexpected happens, right? As the disciples were on a path set by the Lord, remember, he put them into the boat, it says, and he set them on their way. They thought they were going to be safe. They thought no harm was going to come to them. They thought that they would meet Jesus on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But what they really got and what they did not expect was an uncomfortable, sickening, and even deadly storm. You ever find yourself in the middle of a storm? It can be kind of cool, right, when you're inside and you're watching the wind blow from the outside and the rain just pour down. I remember one time in Texas, I was in the middle of a storm, and they had the tornado warnings going on the TVs, and I was all excited. I was like, man, this is cool. You know, first time, you know, ever, you know, had that chance to see a tornado, right? Hail was like in the palm of your hand. It was just massive compared to what we get here in Southern California. And it's kind of cool. It can be kind of neat. But take yourself out of the protection of the shelter or the home and put yourself in the middle of the downpour, and all of the sudden it becomes real. All of the sudden you realize where you are and what's going on. It can become dangerous and uncomfortable. You know, I truly believe that the Lord has set you guys on a certain path this day. He specifically knew and planned for you guys to be here at this event, to hear from him, to hear the messages that have been prepared and poured into the speakers this day. He has a specific destination for you, as he did with the disciples as they were set in that boat. In fact, some of us have been on a certain path since we were children, since we were babies. We've grown up in the church. Some of us have known the Lord since we can remember. We've had Christian parents that have raised us in the Word of God. Some of us are just figuring out what that path is. Some of us have known the Lord, had a personal relationship with him. Some of us, you know, have never even held the Bible until today. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. God desires, no matter what personal background you have, he desires to specifically put you on a path that is led and directed by him, that is directed by him, where he has the control, where he takes the lead. And at times, while on this journey, when we thought it was supposed to be easy, we thought it was supposed to be comfortable, we had certain expectations, supposed to be fun, we find ourselves without doubt in the middle of a storm, and sometimes even in disbelief. And that's what today is all about. Lord, I believe. Lord, I accept the work that you did on the cross. I understand that you're real. But Lord, help my unbelief. Help those times when I'm in the middle of the storm. Help me in those situations where I don't truly grasp that full knowledge of you and your power and your might. Today's theme is taken out of Mark 9. And in verse 17 and 18, it says, then one from the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. This is the man's answer to the Lord, but they could not. This man, I'm sure, when his son was born, looked at his baby with all the hope of a father. He looked at this child with so much hope for success, with just that greatest hope that only a father could have in his son. And yet before he knew it, all of his dreams for his baby would be crushed. His son would be unsuccessful and even suicidal. And in the midst of the storm, it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to look at the problems and the issues that we have in life. And as those problems begin to rise, the hope and trust that we have in the Lord begins to fade. That's what happened to a young man named Dravin Rodriguez, 17 years old. Pretty popular kid. He had a photo that he gained popularity through that went viral last year. He loved rescuing animals, it says. He was a bright kid. He committed suicide last month. Took his own life. Lost hope. Looked at this world and said, that's it. This is as far as I can go. There's nothing else for me. Why? Why are those that are created in the image of God, those that were created for good, those that have been created for a purpose, for a plan that God has specifically for them, losing all hope? During a time when this world is crying out that we have the hope, we have the change. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Why are we his art piece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, living in doubt, holding back from grasping that full power and purpose that the Lord has for us as his children? Can I be honest with you? I think one of the reasons, one of the main reasons, is because my generation has failed you. My generation has failed you guys. We were supposed to be the generation that was smarter, that was wiser. We had all the hope, you know? We were going to erase all the hatred, all the racism. We were going to, you know, get rid of all the violence. I'm breaking someone's computer up here, sorry. It was our generation, right? And yet we've been faithless. We've been full of fear at times. The older our generation gets, the more like the world our generation becomes. And it's making us powerless. It's making us so powerless that even when a father would bring his child to us, the only answer he would have at the end of the day would be that they could not. They could not heal him. They could not do anything for him. No hope. Jesus responds to this father's claims in Mark 9:19. He says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? As the winds begin to blow and the waves rise and the problems get bigger and this world becomes more uncertain, we don't need to be fearful. We need to be fearless in our faith. We need to put all of our trust, all of our hope in the Lord and get rid of all of our doubt. Get rid of all of our fear. We need to stand strong in our beliefs and fall back on what we know in the Lord. And usually it's then that the Lord is about to work. It's usually then that the Lord is about to do something awesome." Verse 25 of Matthew 14, read with me. It says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' Jesus, coming down from praying on the mountain, steps out onto the water, foot by foot, into the sea, into the midst of the storm where the disciples were to meet them." And I don't know about you, but this is some of the most hard to believe, craziest stuff that I've ever heard. Jesus goes walking on the water? Come on. You expect me to believe that? Apparently, it was hard for the disciples to believe as well. What did they do? They cried out in fear, right? It's a ghost. They couldn't believe what they were seeing, even with their own eyes. It's a ghost, it says, that they cried out, and ghosts are nothing to joke around about. They're scary, right? No? I'm the only one that's afraid of ghosts? When I was a kid, I can remember at night thinking that I would see a ghost in my room, being so afraid, oh, man. And I'd wake up, and it would be a coat on a coat hanger, you know, there in the corner. Like, darn coat got me again. But I love this portion of Scripture because it tells me that it's okay for a grown man to cry out in fear when he's staring death in the face, or in my case, a coat on a coat hanger. It's when we're in the middle of a storm, when all around us things are going terribly wrong, that it's the most difficult to believe in Jesus. It's the most difficult to believe that he's really there with us, that he's really there for us, that he's there to meet us where we're at. It's when I feel all alone in life that it's hard to believe John 15:15, that says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know his master, what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." It's hard to believe when I feel all alone that he wants to be my friend. He wants to be my comforter. He wants to be there with me in the middle of the storm. It's hard to believe when my family can't afford to pay the bills, when we can't afford food or the new clothes. It's hard to believe Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He wants to give me everything I ever need. It's when this world is telling me that God doesn't even exist, that he's not even real, that it's hard to believe Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the unbeliever. You don't believe in God? God doesn't believe in atheists. His world, his creation cries out his existence. Deep down inside, your spirit knows that there is a God that created you and that loves you and that desires to know you. And we have to fall back on that in these times. Let me tell you this as a side note, that whatever God created you to be, that is your best you. That is your best you. If God created you to be a guy, that is your best you. Nobody will be a guy better than a guy, and nobody will be a girl better than a girl. God desires you to be a guy if he created you as a guy. And God desires you to be a girl if he created you as a girl. Don't believe the lies of this world and of this perverse generation that is trying to make homosexuality sound like it's normal and transgender sound like it's a cool thing and it's okay. It's lies from the enemy, trying to pull you away from what he truly has for you. My generation has failed, you guys, but your generation doesn't have to. There is still hope. It's in these confusing times that we have to say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, Lord. Help that part of me that wants to freak out and cry out in fear. You know, yeah, it's so easy to believe when I'm here in church. Yeah, it's so easy when I'm around the believers and those that are my fellow Christians. But when I'm out there in the world, when the wind blows and the waves rise, that's when I start to doubt my faith. It's then that even when you reach out to me, even when you come out to me in the middle of the storm, that I cry out for fear and I can't believe that it's even you, that you're even here with me. How could you reach out to me when everything is falling apart? Who is man that you are mindful of them? Who am I that such a great and awesome God would even consider me and my troubles and my pains and fears? Verse 27 there in Matthew says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And Peter had come down out of the boat, so he walked on the water with Jesus. What faith this man Peter had. One second he thinks he's seeing a ghost, and the next second he hears words from Jesus, words to comfort him, words to give him a hope, words to strengthen him, words to solidify. I love that word, solidify, to harden Peter in his faith, in his beliefs. And the most amazing thing to me is that Peter actually believed them. Peter actually grasped them, took hold of them and said, and believe what the Lord was saying to him. It's so amazing to me. The words of Christ can be our greatest comfort in time of need. They can be our greatest teacher. The disciples are crying out of fear. It is a ghost in the middle of a storm. And yet Jesus comes with these words. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. The NLT version says, do not be afraid. He said, take courage. I am here. ESV says, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. And I love this one translation. It says, cheer up. I am here. Do not be afraid. All translations with different encouragements. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Take heart. And cheer up. But the one thing they all have the same is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Have you ever been afraid? Anyone in here ever been afraid? Come on, don't get all tough on me now. All the guys are like, nah, man, never been afraid. Be honest. We've all been afraid, right? There's plenty of things in this world that we can be afraid of. When I think of my baby being born in a few weeks, I get scared. I become afraid. Oh, Lord. Think of my wife lying there on the delivery bed. It's a little scary. frightening. Ooh. All morning we were at a birthing class, watching video after video. Do you guys know what goes on in there? It's like, it's ugly. I'm watching this and I'm like, Lord. Okay, do not be afraid, Roman. Be of good cheer, Roman. Thank you, Lord, for this message in this time of need. It's scary out there. But Peter grasps the amazing words of the Lord and he simply believes the words that Christ has for him. Jesus didn't just leave the disciples in the middle of the sea helpless, hopeless. God will never leave you wondering where he is or if he exists. Verse 28, it says that Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, Lord, if this is really you, if this is you, God, if this isn't some ghost, if this is you, command me to come to you in the water. Prove it, Lord. Prove that it's you. Don't just tell me, but prove it. Let me join you where you are, Lord, out there on the ocean. Let me come to you where you're at. Let me see your majesty. Let me experience you. Don't just let me, Peter said. What did he say? He said, command me. He used that word, command me. In the Greek, that word command is keluo. It means to order. Peter said, I'm not going anywhere, Lord, until you command me, until you order me to get out of this boat. I'm not moving. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Wait upon the Lord in your life. Wait until he tells you to move. Ask God, command me, Lord, to move. Command me to make that decision that I need to make in my life. Seek after God's direction. Verse 29 says, so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. It's when we believe that that awesome things begin to happen. It's when we let the Lord give the orders, when we let him make the commands, that we can accomplish the impossible. Peter was able to get out of the boat and walk on water. Foot by foot, step by step. It doesn't say how long. He just walked out there. He was walking on the water. But it was when the Lord commanded Peter. It was when the Lord ordered Peter to get out of the boat. Ask God, God, command me. Whatever decision I need to make in life, Lord, command that decision in my life. Command me to go to a specific school or college. Lord, command me to wait for the right boyfriend or girlfriend. That's a big one. Lord, command me. Order that correct person that I will be spending the rest of my life with. Command me to hang out with the right friends. Command me to speak only encouraging, righteous words. To listen to only edifying music and watch only edifying movies and things. To seek after a career, Lord, that is centered upon you and your church rather than the other way around. Command me to believe without fear. Lord, command me that I would be an example to those around me. What did Peter do? He waited for the Lord. What were the other disciples thinking, do you think, when Peter stood up? They were thinking, Peter, you're crazy, Peter. Peter, sit down, Peter. Get back in the boat, Peter. What are you doing? But what were they thinking when Peter started to walk out on the water? You go, Peter. Bring us with you, Peter. Lord, command us. Amazing things. Verse 15 of Matthew 16, it says, Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus asked again, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you walk with Jesus through impossibilities, there's no doubting who he truly is. There's no more doubting. Let's move to verse 30. It says, But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Peter believed, but it was when he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked around and saw the boisterous, loud, crazy winds that he began to doubt. When he saw the waves, when he saw the wind blowing, when he felt the cold water on his feet, when he felt a wave or some water splash him in the face, he began to become afraid and to sink. Maybe you've taken that step with the Lord. Maybe God's commanded you to take that step of faith. Maybe you accepted the Lord for who he is. You said the prayer. You asked him to come into your life. But it's when you're out there in the world. It's when you're out at school. It's when the wind begins to blow, when the chaos begins to happen, when all the peers are around us, the waves are moving, that we look around and we realize where we really are. And we think, this is impossible. What am I doing? You take your eyes off of Jesus, and with the wind and the waves, you begin to sink. And at that point, it's not that God's power or his ability is missing in our life, but it's that our disbelief is beginning to hold us back from truly experiencing God's power, from truly keeping that amazing feeling that we had at that one conference, at that one retreat, there in youth group, there at the, on Sunday morning during church. But Peter cried out, Lord, save me, Lord. Lord, save me. That simple prayer that Peter had. Cry out to the Lord today. Tell him to prove himself. Lord, prove that it's you. Let me know. Cry out to him. Tell him to command you to join him out there on the water. Lord, save me from my unbelief. Lord, save me from my fears. Save me from my doubts. Save me from this world. Allow the Lord to prove the impossible, the impossibilities in your life. Verse 31, closing up here, the 33, it says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, when the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. It's in the hardest times of your life when you cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me, that he will reach out and he will catch you. It's when you begin to sink and you cry out to the Lord and you do the impossible with God, that he will do the impossible with you, and others that are around you will see what he has done in your life, who you have become. That's not the same guy I remember. That's not the same girl that I knew last week. Wow, they're different. God's doing something in their life. That's when they'll truly say, this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. And we'll be that example to them. Amen? Amen. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't be like this world. Don't just believe there's a God. Don't just believe in a higher power. Don't be like that artist that says, I want to thank God for this award. Which God? Buddha? Muhammad? Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in the Son. Believe what he represents and what he has done for you in your life. Believe in his forgiveness. Believe in the death and resurrection. Believe the fact that he is the mediator between you and God. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you, Lord. God, I lift up all the youth, Lord, that are in this room right now, Father. I lift up our fears. I lift up our doubts. I lift up our unbelief, Father. Lord, I ask right now, Jesus, that we would just give all of it to you, God. That we would hand it over to you, Father, that we are holding back from you, Lord. I pray, Father, that as we get in front of our peers, as we get in the midst of the storm, in the middle of this crazy life, Lord, and that we just, that those times where we just want to give up, where we want to cry out in fear, God, I pray, Father, that you would just prove yourself to us. Lord, I pray that it's in that time that you would catch us, Lord, and that you would do the impossible with us, Father, that we can point everybody to you, that they'll be able to look around and say, wow, truly this is the Son of God. Forgive us, Lord, for our unbelief, God. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.